I have found it a special grace to be reading through the Acts of the Apostles during this particular Easter season. For we see repeatedly in the Acts of the Apostles how the early church faced incredible challenges and hardships. Today, for instance, here's Paul and Silas, who have been flogged and have now been locked into the innermost part of the Philippian prison. And yet, their attitude and their outlook on life is not one that's discouraged. They are not overwhelmed, but they are confident in the goodness and in the power of God. How is it that men like Paul and Silas, how is it like those that we read of in the Acts of the Apostles, are able to live under such adverse external circumstances and yet have such interior confidence and peace? It's because of the work of the Holy Spirit, who had so gotten a hold of their hearts that he was the one who was renewing, restoring, and encouraging them in their own lives. Today, our Lord Jesus gives us one of the clearest expressions of the work that the Holy Spirit does. And there's a particular verb that is used that the Holy Spirit is going to prove something. As Jesus says, when he, the Spirit, comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, this word prove is one that is very, very important, and it can have two dimensions to it. It can be used, first of all, say, in a court of law, where someone proves the innocent or the guilt of someone. In other words, it has about it this idea of conviction. But prove also has a second sense, and this has to do with conscience, that the Holy Spirit can work in such a way that he inspires and enlightens our conscience. And today we want to think about how the Holy Spirit does both of these things. Our Lord Jesus says that the Holy Spirit comes to convict people of sin. One of the things, again, that we see in the Acts of the Apostles is how some of those who had been complicit in the crucifixion of Jesus, that on Good Friday had given their consent to his death, a few weeks later, are also in Jerusalem when they hear St. Peter give his Pentecost sermon. And the people who had given their yes to the crucifixion now cry out in response to Peter's homily. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said, what must we do to be saved? What's happened? The Holy Spirit has now convicted the hearts of these people to recognize that they had been wrong about Jesus and that they are convicted of how their sin was complicit in his death. This is something that the Holy Spirit always does. There is a way that he is able to work in our lives so that we are also convicted of where we have sinned and we need to turn to Christ to be saved. But the Holy Spirit also wants to prove Jesus right in relation to righteousness. And this has to do more now with the conscience. What a remarkable thing it is that Jesus, crucified as a criminal, the one who was tried, found guilty, was regarded by the Jewish leaders as an evil heretic and by the Romans as a dangerous character. And he was given the worst of punishments. But this one, who had been branded a felon, an enemy of God, is declared by the Roman centurion to be indeed the Son of God. There's an amazing thing that happens in the lives of people. Their conscience is stirred within them so that the Holy Spirit proves Jesus to be who he truly is, the Son of God. the one in whom we have redemption. And so I want to ask you this morning, you who are watching, has your conscience been so stirred? Have you been so moved that you are absolutely convinced of who Jesus Christ truly is? That he is the righteous one, the one through whom you will be saved, the one through whom Deacon Tom and I are also saved. And this brings us to the third thing that the Holy Spirit does. He convinces us of the one who is the true judge, Jesus Christ himself. He convinces us that in a world like this, that the devil has ultimately been judged and he has been defeated. But we're also aware of this dimension of judgment, that at the moment you die, at the moment I die, we will stand before Jesus Christ. And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ so that we may receive recompense for what we have done in the body, whether for good or for evil. What a wonderful thing the Holy Spirit does. He proves the world wrong about sin, that we can just live our lives any way we want to. We can't. He proves Jesus to be the righteous one, and he shows each of us that everything we do according to each day will ultimately be judged by Jesus and in the light of his righteous love. And that brings us to this wonderful reading from the Acts of the Apostles, where Paul and Silas, after they have been delivered from prison, are able to speak to the Philippian jailer. And it's a wonderful text because something happens in the life of this man. He moves from despair, he was about to kill himself, to joy as he hears the saving gospel of Jesus Christ and asks the question, like those in Acts 2, what must I do to be saved? And what does Paul, what does Silas say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household will be saved. This is a beautifully Catholic text. For we don't know about the personal faith of the jailer's children or even of his wife. All we know is about his faith. And somehow his faith will impact the faith of his family. And this is something fundamental to our Catholic belief, that there is a way the Holy Spirit works in and through believers to touch those in our families who might not yet be at that point of personal belief themselves. So may we take to heart the work of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. May we take it in heart for ourselves, and may we believe on the Lord Jesus for our family, for our spouses, for our children, for all that are dear to us, so that we can hear St. Luke in the Acts of the Apostles say to you and me, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the work of the Holy Spirit so that you and your household shall be saved.